I have completed the journey through the Haftorah cycle. The last Haftorah sermon was a couple of weeks ago during Sukkot. And so I've spent a year doing messages from the Haftorah portions. I've really enjoyed that, by the way. It's gotten me into the prophets more. The Haftorah portions from the prophets were drawn from all but four books of the prophets. Nahum, whose name, by the way, is related to Noach, rest, comfort. Nahum wasn't covered. Haggai wasn't covered. And a couple others were not covered in the Haftorah cycle. A few people have been saying that they just don't get into the prophets very much. They don't understand the prophets, the poetry there, the images, the symbolism. And so I hope that that has been encouraging and foundational for you in the past year. Actually, in the past 2 years, I had also done a series through the book of Joshua, which is also one of the prophets. The first prophet, actually. And so I'm going to take a turn, and in the next year, I believe, mostly at least, I'm going to be drawing from the readings from the New Covenant Scriptures. I've done the Haftorah portions, and now we'll go to the corresponding Scriptures from the New Covenant, be it the Besorah, the Good News, or from the writings of Rav Shaul, or the writings to the other Jewish congregations like Peter or James or John. And the readings, by the way, if you want a list of them, they are, you may find them on a sheet out in the entry hall. They're next to the new Baruch Haba newsletter. And if you lose that, you can always find a link to that site on our website. Someone asked me why I choose this particular set of readings. It's really for, there are other suggested messianic readings for each Torah portion. For instance, David Stern makes a number of suggestions when he wrote the Jewish New Testament. These are from Jeff Feinberg, a Messianic rabbi in Chicago. The reasons I choose him are actually somewhat personal. Not necessarily because I think they're the best, they are what I have always gone with since coming to Baruch Haba. And as you're reading scripture and doing prayer through the week, if you find some other things that jump out to you and some of the other suggested readings, that's great. I'd be even excited to hear what else you are seeing or coming across. But we will be utilizing Jeff Feinberg's list of suggested Brit HaKadoshah readings for the year ahead. And in this week's reading, he is in Matthew chapter 24. As I explored this week, I've noticed that about 40% of the time, these readings, he's actually drawing from the Besorah, from Matthew through the book of John. And so the narratives of Yeshua are particularly highlighted in these readings. The book of Hebrews is also greatly highlighted for reasons that will at least become apparent as we go forward. Chapter 24 of Matthew is one of the five sermons of Yeshua that is given in this book, in the book of Matthew. There are five sermons that Yeshua that are collected and edited together. They're pieced from different places. For instance, in the book of Luke, the corresponding passages are from all over the book of Luke, but the editor of this particular book has pulled them together, and this particular sermon, the last of the five, is a sermon about being ready for the coming judgment. Signs and things to be aware of that will happen in coming days. Such things as Yeshua talks about the Jewish leadership, as most prophets saw the Jewish leadership as failing in their duties. Think of Jeremiah, Malachi, Amos, Micah. These prophets see the Jewish leaders as not living up to the standard that God would have desired. Yeshua takes much the same tone. He does say that his followers will go through persecution. And we've seen this before. For instance, when we studied through the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter is basically about how to endure suffering in the midst of persecution. And there is a time coming, though, that in spite of the persecution, there will be a growing strength of the community that follows Messiah, both Jewish and non-Jewish. And it even Yeshua even says that the end will come when the message of Messiah goes to all the nations. At the end of the book of Matthew, it called what we call the Messianic Mandate, where Yeshua said, as you are going, teach these things to all nations, and making disciples of all nations. There it is made as a, that statement is made as a proclamation. Here in chapter 24, that message of going, taking the message out, comes with a promise. And the promise is that as that occurs, the end will come. Yeshua is saying that there is will be at some point a generation that does that task better than any task, than any preceding generation ever. When the message fully goes out to the nations of the world, this is one of the demonstrations, one of the signs that the end of the age will come. As we fully fulfill our task and our purpose. It's interesting that Yeshua is telling us that God is waiting on us to accomplish what he's asked us to do. God uses us to do his work. But Yeshua also says in the reading that Rabbi Feinberg has selected, beginning in verse 36, Yeshua tells us that the day and the hour of the end, no one knows. We're given signs, but no one knows the day and the hour. I remember seeing people make, you know, big charts about end time. Most of the time, their charts were much more complicated than Yeshua actually said. It was very elaborate, they're just big and monstrous and gaudy. And Yeshua just kind of lays it out in straightforward form, much simpler, much less complex. He says there are a number of signs that you can look for. There will always be persecution. That's, remember, is one of the marks of being a follower of Messiah. When the disciples declare Yeshua as the Messiah, the next thing he says to them is, you will be persecuted. You must take up your execution stake and follow me. If you seek to gain your life, you will lose it. If you seek to lose your life, you will gain it. And it seems weird and backwards to our idea of getting ahead in life. But to be a follower of Yeshua, there is a certain marginality to this walk. You find yourself on the margins if you choose to follow Messiah and Yeshua. In today's pop religious culture, it's almost a triumphant idea that those that follow Yeshua will swing into power. And there's a triumphal, I even knew of a congregation once that called themselves Church Triumphant or something like that. But this is not the picture that Yeshua gives us. He says, no one knows the day and the hour that it will come. Not the angels, not even the Son, referring to himself, knows when the end will come. Note that it says only the Father knows. Here's one of those examples in Scripture that where we see that Yeshua and the Father are not co-equal. There's a difference between Yeshua and the Father. In some theologies, you have the idea that there's three in one and they're all tied up with each other, and God equals the Spirit, equals the Son, equals the Father. But here is one of the places where we see a difference between Yeshua and the Father. Yeshua doesn't have all the knowledge that the Father has. Elsewhere in Paul's writings, we see that there is a difference between the Son and the Father. In that case, the Son chooses to empty himself of his glory, of his honor, of his divine nature, we're told, and he comes to earth to be a servant, and then he is then lifted up and given the name above every name. The name of God is then bestowed upon him. Yeshua doesn't even know when the end will come. He can tell us what it will look like. He says, if you can flee, certainly do it. In the Romans attacked Jerusalem in the year 66, and it was it was 4 years later before the temple was destroyed in the year 70. During part of that time, the Jews in Jerusalem could actually leave and wouldn't be stopped, at least for the first couple years. And then beginning in the year 68, the Romans clamped down a little harder, and after that, no one could leave Jerusalem. Of course, Yeshua said, when you see these things coming, if you can get out of Dodge, so to speak, do it. At a certain point, though, the ability to flee will be diminished. No one knows when this is coming, but you need to be ready. You need to be aware. You need to understand that the judgment at some point will come. This is what the people in Noah's day didn't understand. In verse 37, Yeshua picks up that image of Noah. Just as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, referring to himself from a passage in the book of Daniel that calls him the Son of Man. In those days, the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were just living their lives, getting up in the morning, eating breakfast, going through their day, having a drink at night, celebrating their life cycle events, going to weddings, going to this event and that event, living their life, mundane things, special things. They didn't understand the signs. They didn't see and recognize what was coming. Yeshua said, when those days, the end of the age comes, it'll be much like that. Judgment will catch people unprepared. They won't recognize the signs. This is why Yeshua is making special effort to teach his followers what to expect, what it'll look like. When is it that you should flee? One of my colleagues, a Messianic rabbi in Tennessee, has a very strong message about preparing Jewish believers for Aliyah. There will be a time when there will be a situation in the United States that believers will need to get out of the United States, will need to make Aliyah to Israel. And he's a very strong proponent of this perspective. Because, Yeshua says, judgment would come. It says in verse 39, they did not understand until the flood came and swept them away. They didn't know until it was too late. So will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So after giving this historical parable, Yeshua uses two examples. He says, two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. And then the second example, this time two women. Two women will be grinding at a mill. One will be taken, one will be left. It's interesting that Yeshua hits different socio-status speaking to men, speaking to women, in whatever tasks of life that they find themselves, judgment will come. One will be taken and one will be left. Just a couple of years ago, thinking about this passage, actually, I asked myself, who is it that's taken and who is it that is left? Coming from a certain background that I came from, the image was always that the ones taken were the righteous and the ones that were left were the unrighteous. But a couple of years ago, I asked myself the question, why have we always assumed that that's what it is, that the ones taken are righteous and the ones not taken are unrighteous? I've actually decided that I now think the other way. The ones taken are the wicked, for judgment. The ones who are left are, in this parable, is the ones who are righteous. I don't have time to explore with you, but there are passages in Jeremiah 6, Jeremiah 8, as well as other places in Jewish literature that speak of the wicked are the ones that go into exile. The wicked are the ones who are taken away. And we see that theme throughout scriptural history. The ones taken are the ones that are destined to judgment and so forth. They are removed from the scene. If you'd like to chat about that, I'd be willing to reflect on that a little bit more. And Yeshua doesn't make a point of it, but in just in thinking of biblical tradition, I've seemed to come to that image, dealing with thinking about how the prophets usually speak of judgment. In verse 42, we finally come to the heart of Yeshua's statement. Here in the middle of the reading from the Besorah, Yeshua says, "Therefore, because of all this, stay alert." The verb actually means keep watch. Keep your eyes open. A watchman is the image. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, O watchman, what is the news of the night? Think of a sentry walking the walls of ancient Jerusalem, watching the hills, the mountains around Jerusalem. Is there danger approaching? O watchman, what of the night? It's not that they necessarily expected to be attacked at any time, but there was a readiness of watching, being alert. What is being spoken of here is not necessarily a psychological stirring yourself up for expectation. It's not necessarily speaking of expectation. It's being alert to the season. What are the signs? And Yeshua is going to explain more fully in just a couple more verses what it means to be alert. He first gives a parable of what it means to keep your eyes open. Know this. If the master of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. Same verb. He would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. It's not that the master of the house, the homeowner, expects the thief to come. It's not an idea of expectation. It's an idea of preparedness. Keep watch. If the homeowner knew when the thief was coming, would he have just stood by? He would have been prepared, able to do something. And this idea of being prepared and doing something is what Yeshua wants to push us toward. This idea of Messiah's second coming being compared to a thief is actually something that's used several times later by both Rabbi Paul, by Peter, I believe, and by John in the book of Revelation. So just as the homeowner keeps watch, so you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Again, Yeshua's, the judgment to come will catch some people unaware. To other people, it'll be crystal clear. To some, they won't expect it until it's on the scene, and then it, as with the flood, it will have been too late. It's very interesting that in the reading chosen for this Sabbath, it doesn't stop there. The reading goes for two more verses through verse 46. And this week, at first, as I read this, I was thinking, now what does verse 45 and 46 have to do with this idea of being prepared and ready for Messiah's coming. Let's read verse 45 and 6. It says, "Now, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whose master finds him doing so when he comes." It's still the idea of the coming of Messiah, but the image has completely shifted and changed. I think here we have the answer to how we stay alert. How do you stay alert? How do you keep watch for Messiah? It's not by stirring yourself up psychologically into a frenzy of expectation. That's not how the homeowner waited for the thief. Instead, it was a preparedness, doing what was necessary ahead of time, the time to come. See what it says? Who is the faithful and the wise servant? It is the one who is doing the duty that they have even when the master wasn't there. The faithful and wise servant whom the master put in charge of his household to give food at the proper time. Highlighting the verse, for instance, from Psalm 145 that says that he gives food at the proper time, at the appointed time. The language is the exact same here as in that verse that we often recite from Psalm 145. God gives food to the ravens when they call. And so here, the faithful servant, I actually thought of Moses. Yeshua was hinting at that. But I thought of that image of Moses in all my household, God says. Here, the faithful wise servant is of what becomes fear or something about when will the end come? What must I do to be willing by faithfulness to the task that the master has given him? Blessed. Here we have a bracha in verse 46. Blessed is the servant whose master finds him doing so when he comes. And it's very interesting to me that Rabbi Feinberg chose to include these two verses to highlight what it means to be prepared for the coming of Messiah. It is an understanding of the season. It is a continuing to fulfill the purpose of being the light to the nations. In spite of suffering and persecution that Messiah said would accompany that task. It is a readiness to keep your hand on the steering wheel, to keep at the task that the master has given in this parable about the servant giving food to everyone in the household. So we continue to keep our hands at 10 and 2, moving forward, ready, knowing that judgment will come to the earth, but understanding that Messiah is calling us to continue the work. How do we prepare? We don't run off to a mountaintop like some cults. We don't go off to Guyana in South America, as one cult did back in the late 70s, who were expecting the end, where to a compound in Waco, Texas, like another cult did back in the 90s. The fear of the unknown, the fear of things to come can really stifle our spirits if we allow it. It can create havoc, as in those cases, religious cults and false messiahs and so forth. But we keep walking in the light and the presence and the commandments of the Most High. Blessed is the servant whose master finds him doing the tasks when he comes. We prepare for his return by being prepared and doing the things that he has called us to do. We are alert. And being alert means that we're busy at building his kingdom. Don't let the judgment catch you unaware. And at the same time, don't let it stifle your spirit. Keep moving forward. We don't know the day or the hour. Even in the last couple years, I can think of examples of someone predicting the return of the Messiah. Lately, there's a lot of buzz and news about, there's astronomical, there's, you know, the up in the moon, there's signs, there must be something portentous coming. But Messiah says, no, these people are seeking the wrong rabbit trail. You are prepared and moving forward. We don't run after these things. We hold on to Messiah Yeshua. Let's pray.